Pacific Owned. Phil Hendry.
Hey, welcome back here to the world famous Phil Hendry Show on this Tuesday night, Wednesday morning. And today's going to be fun. I say today, Wednesday, we will be over at the offices of our dear close personal friends at LEG to appear on Jay Moore's great podcast, Moore Stories.
Well, that's one of the highest rated podcasts of them all.
Yeah, he gets a lot of download and everything.
Downloads, yeah. Jay Moore and Jay's doing a sports show, too, as a matter of fact, on one of the networks. So that'll be fun to be on the Jay Moore podcast. And then he is going to be on the Bobby Dooley podcast coming up probably in a couple of weeks. Sugar Ray Leonard this week on the Bobby Dooley podcast as well. And then, of course, we have our daily podcast. All you have to do is go to philhendryshow.com, hit the podcast banner, and you will find those marvelous offerings there. And while you're there, get a backstage pass and be a part of the Phil Hendry Show family, the dysfunctional, sometimes half-crazed, but always well-meaning Phil Hendry Show family. What other things? Oh, yeah, so on this thing that I wanted to, quote, clean up that started all of this fol-de-rol with Reverend Castorini and Jay Santos. Unbelievable.
Well, Phil, you know, we can go down that road again if you want.
No, I don't want to. I don't want to, and no, we won't. But in other words, just to kind of finish up what I was saying, that's probably a better phrase, huh?
I think that, you know, I know you didn't ask my opinion.
No, I didn't.
No.
I think it is a better phrase than to say, oh, I need to wipe up what I did last hour.
I didn't say. We're going to go down that same road.
Yeah, you're never going to get out of this, man. Just go.
All right, in any event, so Saturday night it was over at my friend Amir Forster's house over with her husband Kevin and her daughter Ella and had dinner with those guys. And just to give an example of the kind of response, because we were talking about drinking, responsible drinking as opposed to irresponsible drinking. So I was over there and I brought with me, I brought some toys for Ella and I brought some beers for Kevin. And I just, you know, tried to bring a little something for the family, you know, when you're visiting people. And for myself, of course, I brought two bottles of tequila. Now, why I bought two bottles? I think I always have this idea, you know, what?
Well, that you're going to drink both of them.
No, I've got no illusions that I'm going to drink two bottles of tequila, Margaret. I've always got the sense, though, that I want to leave something with people when I go to their house. And, you know, so I thought I would leave this probably one of the two bottles of tequila. I don't know if they were tequila drinkers, you know.
Well, if you don't know they're tequila drinkers and you brought two bottles of tequila, you must have subconsciously, if you're just following the word, Phil, subconsciously, okay?
Yes, I'm following.
All right. That you were going to drink both of those bottles of tequila, which is the French. Thank you.
Tequila.
Yes. Or tequila. See, if you want to learn, well, never mind.
Yeah, if I want to learn how to have class, I better pronounce it the French way. I better learn a Spanish word pronounced the French way. So in any event, so I had the, and I must have had about 3/4 of the bottle of Añejo. God, that was a good tequila. That Don Julio Añejo, I heartily recommend. In any event, so Kevin grilled these fantastic steaks, and I just had a nice family night there with Amir and her family, and her daughter Ella had the slot car track out. So there I am with this little 3-year-old girl, and we're, you know, racing slot cars, and the kids, you know, beating my brains in. And in any event, I was suddenly very aware of the fact that I had had way too much to drink, and there was no way I was going to get in my car. But what was not going to happen is I wasn't going to walk to the Marriott, because I grabbed a room over at the Marriott in Marina del Rey.
Where was this?
The Marriott in Marina del Rey.
You didn't stay at the Ritz?
No, I didn't stay at the Ritz.
Hmm.
Kind of unusual for you, Mr. Henry, is not?
No, that's not unusual for me. What do you mean unusual for me?
Well, I would think that the Ritz would be more comfortable, but that's just me. Well, you know what? I stayed at the Marriott, because the Marriott's nice and comfy, too.
You're trying to save money, right?
As a matter of fact, yes, I'm trying to save money. And even if I wasn't trying to save money, I'd stay at the Marriott, because it's just as comfortable. Thank you very much. I don't need to stay at the freaking Ritz. What is it with you guys, anyway?
It's an unusual choice, given the fact that you have the means.
I'm not going to stay at the Ritz, thank you very much. If I stay at the Ritz, it's because I don't know. I didn't, you know, this was just God. In any event...
Why didn't you stay at the Ritz?
Yeah, never mind about the Ritz. I was meeting...
I thought so.
Yeah, okay. So in any event... So there I am at the Ritz, I mean, excuse me, at the Marriott, and I get dropped off by the cab driver, great, and I go, you know, walking through the lobby like a jackball, and I get up to the room, and I think I'd like to have myself a Coca-Cola, you know? So I go bungling on down across the street to the Marina Market at 1 o'clock in the morning, and get just like, you know, any guy that's had too much to drink, I got a big bottle of Diet Coke and a bag full of candy bars.
Well, you had the drunk munchies, and the drunk munchies was something we were talking to Dan about, right?
Yeah, the drunk munchies are, they're not like, excuse me for saying this, folks, I don't really have any first-hand knowledge of this, but the drunk munchies are not like weed munchies. Weed munchies are a decidedly sweets thing, you know, where you really want sweets, you want to have, candy bars and stuff. The drunk munchies are more like hamburgers and french fries.
Yeah, the hamburger, and then you puke.
Yeah, then you vomit it up. That's the best part.
Oh, that's the best part. So, I had a bag of candy bars, and I went back up to the hotel room, right smack dab through a lobby full of very nicely dressed people. It could have been a wedding reception. I don't think so. It looked more like a professional function of some kind, like maybe even a dance or a ball or a waltzing competition or something. And right on through, I went back up to my room, slept like, almost like a baby, slept like an overgrown baby, and woke up and got my ass out of there. It's as simple as that, you know.
So you didn't stay another night?
No. I wanted to get the hell home, man. It was just right. But that's what you should do, see? You know, and it isn't that I live that far away from those guys. It was that I knew I was going to be partying a little bit. And why the hell, you know, why not just, they live down there in Marina Del Rey, they're not far away from a couple of good hotels, what the hell? So that's what I did. I'm not going to get in a car and drive all the way back up to El Pacifico at 1 o'clock in the morning, hammered on, it ain't going to happen.
Well, no one is suggesting you do that, Phil. I would never want you to do that. But by the same token, if you're going to stay at a hotel, well...
Stay at the Ritz?
I didn't say stay at the Ritz. I would think.
Yeah, I think given your position.
Oh, would you knock it off? Given my position. All right, given my position, I ought to be, you know, adjusting myself right now, but you guys made a big deal out of that, so...
Given your position,
Shut up. On the eve of a city council hearing on a proposed ordinance to ban energy drinks in Chicago, the maker of one brand of those beverages is disputing allegations that its products are dangerous. A Maryland family whose child died after consuming Monster energy drinks disagrees. They want to help stop the sale of the drinks. A Maryland family whose child died after consuming Monster energy drinks disagrees. Now, this is very interesting. Alderman Ed Burke has proposed banning high-caffeine energy drinks in Chicago. A hearing Tuesday afternoon will address that proposal. The mother of the Maryland teenager who died... The Maryland teenager... who died is scheduled to testify at the hearing on Tuesday. Wendley Crossland's daughter, Anise Fournier, died in 2011. Fournier is believed to have had a Monster energy drink the day before and another the day she was rushed to the hospital. Those representing Monster say the energy drink is not to blame. Attorneys representing Monster energy drink chose a local hotel conference room to reveal their report about Anise Fournier on Monday, a day before Chicago City Council Committee considers a ban on high-caffeine energy drinks. Caffeine in our product is safe in the amount which is contained in the can, said Monster attorney Daniel Callahan. In 2011, Fournier was 14 years old. She's believed to have had two Monster energy drinks over two days just before she was rushed to the hospital. She died several days later. Fournier had a heart condition, and Monster says her death was due to pre-existing conditions. Monster hired doctors to review the autopsy and her health. The physician examining Ms. Fournier's medical records said they found absolutely no connection between Ms. Fournier's alleged consumption of a Monster energy drink and her unfortunate passing. Fournier died in Maryland. The coroner's opinion reads in part, Fournier died of cardiac arrhythmia due to caffeine toxicity. Well, you know, that's the coroner making his report. Which, by the way, the child died in Maryland. And so Chicago, what's the story with Chicago?
Well, they don't want that to happen in Chicago.
They don't want what to happen in Chicago? They haven't even determined yet. The coroner says caffeine toxicity, but the attorneys that represent Monster now dug up a health report that says this girl had pre-existing conditions that may have included cardiac arrhythmia. You know, cardiac arrhythmia is something that is extant in a lot of people. It isn't just something that happens and then you die. You can have an irregular heartbeat your entire life and be taking medication for it. So the attorney that represents the girl's family has filed a lawsuit against Monster, saying that Fournier's heart condition was mild and doctors never warned her to stay away from caffeine. Well, there you go. Doctors never warned her to stay away from caffeine. So she had some caffeine, so she died. Don't you think that's the doctor's fault, not the drink?
Well, it sounds to me like you are decidedly on the side of another corporation. And let me just say this.
Oh, Margaret.
No, hold on. Have the good sense and the open mind. You are constantly on the side of corporations. Do you understand?
Margaret.
No, hold on. I have talked to you about this before. When you are constantly on the side of corporations. Never mind.
You know, Margaret, you're a walking anti-climax machine. You know that?
And what is that supposed to mean?
It means that you got, hey, Phil, here's the big point, and then never mind.
Yeah, you're always doing that, and then you got to go to bed, just like she's got to do right now.
That's right. I need to go to the toilet.
Every time there's going to be a point made, you got to get up, go onto a toilet.
Yeah, I always have to do that.
No, not always.
I gotta say, you've been your trips to the bathroom have been less and less lately, Margaret. I will say that. So check this out. This is very fascinating. And I'm at a kind of a crossroads here, but I think that, well, the cigarette smoking thing, tobacco, America's addiction to tobacco, the very clear link between tobacco and health problems, the very clear link between tobacco and deaths, has inspired. I think an ill-considered belief that we can ban our way to better health. Ban this product, ban that product, ban this product, ban that. You can't drink this, can't drink that, can't smoke this, can't smoke that, can't do this, can't do that. And the next thing you know, we're going to be slim, trim, we're going to look fantastic, we're going to live to be 168 years old, we're all going to have large heads, and we're going to be 6'9", and we will look like space aliens.
What are you talking about?
Well, I mean, you know, it's like we want to streamline immediately some idea. We want to streamline the human race immediately into nothing but great health. Now, this whole thing with Monster Energy drinks, you're going to tell me banning Monster Energy drinks is somehow going to save this child. I think it's the same thing if you want to apply it to, I honest to God believe it's the same thing as some people think that banning violence on television will keep kids from acting violently, because there are some who have pre-existing mental conditions and are triggered by, for instance, they have a pre-existing psychosis and they're triggered by some sort of violent imagery, and we think that it's the fault of the television and not the fault of what was going on inside the brain. It's the same thing with this. Oh, we got a break? And I was just making some really great points, and it was very compelling.
Not really.
All right, we'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show. But I will continue talking about this and consuming a Monster. As a matter of fact, tomorrow night we're going to drink. No, I can't. Too many calories.
Yeah, that's why Monster Energy drink dangerous on you.
Right. All right, we'll be right back. Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
All right, I'm reading it, Margaret.
Right here, listen, they've got billions of dollars to hire the best PR people on the planet. That is the point.
No, hold on for just a second. Can we just, you know, can we resist the temptation, please, to immediately vilify because it's a corporation? Corporations are, yeah, it's really an interesting trend that if you put corporation anywhere in the sentence, you are dealing with an evil entity. And we forget that corporations, you know, it's funny. People say corporation, a corporation is a person under the tax code. Well, that is true. But more to the point, Corporations are made up of people. Who do you think are employed by corporations? People. Who do you think runs corporations? People. You know, I mean, the vast majority of individuals that make up a corporation are employees. They're not the big cats, the fat cats. They're just regular people with houses and families just like everybody else, you know? So when they talk about they have billions of dollars, here's a little girl, God rest her soul, the child drinks two Monster energy drinks. The doctor says there was a severe cardiac arrhythmia, and he said it was due to caffeine toxicity. Now the other doctor says, the family doctor says, well, we never told her to stay away from caffeine. Now, if you want my immediate read on that, which I know you don't, but I'm just going to give it, it sounds to me like the family doctor screwed up. Because understand something, 14-year-olds drink Monster beers or Monster drinks, these energy drinks, and do not die. Just like 14-year-olds watch violent television shows and don't go out and kill people. And yet, it happens. Some do. Is it the violent TV show? Is it the nature of the child? I give you the same argument that I would give you were we talking about violence on TV. Only now, because the people who want to ban everything lost that fight, now they want to move on to, you know, energy drinks. Let's see if we can win this fight. And let's say, hey, you know, let's ban these because it's stupid.
I don't see the connection at all. If the child is drinking a Monster energy drink, let's say this. What, bud?
I just want to say one thing.
Go ahead.
If the child drank a Monster energy drink and could run a million miles an hour, would you say that was the kid that did it or the energy?
Are you nuts or something?
No, this is a very good point, bud. If that child drank a Monster energy drink...
You're talking about a child that's dead, okay?
I'm sorry.
Well, I got a better one. Let's say just another kid. And it's not a Monster, it's just like a Red Bull. And it's another kid. And a kid drink a Red Bull, and that kid is able to run, you know, fast as a train. Like a speeding train?
Yeah, like they say on Superman.
Yeah, like on Superman.
Uh-huh.
What about that?
What about it? What are you trying to say?
Would you say that's the drink or you say that's the kid?
I'd say it's the kid.
Well, yeah, you say that's the kid, that a kid never did it before until he had a Red Bull.
Well, how do I know? This is what you guys are telling me. If I drink a Red Bull, am I running a million miles an hour?
No.
Then why do you say it's the Red Bull?
Because it's a kid, not you.
I'm waiting, bud. You.
Well, don't make fun of him because his brain doesn't work.
You drink a Red Bull, and you run a million miles an hour? Yeah, right.
Hey, bud, the whole thing is cuckoo. You got some kid drinking a Red Bull and running a million miles an hour, and you're going, oh, well, is that the kid or the Red Bull? And I say, well, it's the kid. And you go, no, it's the Red Bull. Then I say, okay, how about if I drink a Red Bull and I run a million miles an hour, and you guys don't believe that?
Well, it's kind of far-fetched.
Oh, that's far-fetched.
Well, Phil, don't be defensive because of your age.
No, I'm not defensive because of my age. You guys don't hear yourselves. You're not hearing what you're saying.
You just said you guys don't hear we're selves.
Boy, you cats with this nitpicking, man. I swear to God, one of these days I'm going to come in here with a baseball bat, and I'm going to make like Robert De Niro in The Untouchables. Thank you.
Oh, my God. You heard it. You're a witness.
Yeah, I can't believe what I heard. You say you take a baseball bat?
Oh, take it easy, will you? I'm telling you that if I drank a Red Bull and I ran a million miles an hour, I ain't going to say it's the Red Bull. I'm going to say it's me. And if some kid, same thing, because are you going to run a million miles an hour? Is everybody going to run a million miles an hour? Just one kid.
What?
Is everybody going to run a million miles an hour after they drink a Red Bull?
No, just, you know, every
every other kid, every odd kid.
Yeah, not every even, but odd kid.
Oh, every odd kid, not even kid. What does that mean?
Phil, quit trying to make me into one of the gloids that you so willingly hang out with, all right? I'm making a very good point.
Yeah, you're making a good point, by the way, with using a, you know, an insulting term like gloid. And I'm not trying to make you out to be a gloid. What kind of a point is that, every odd kid?
You've heard of odd and even, haven't you?
Yes.
I'm talking about even and odd. Even kid, odd kid. I don't know.
Yeah, uh-huh. You don't know. Every odd kid and even kid.
If their name ends with an even, not even number.
You guys are really in trouble, man. I'm telling you.
All right, how about this? If their last name has an even number of letters in it, yeah, right there.
Yeah, you got it, Ms. Gray. There it is.
Right there. I got it.
Okay, hey. Margaret 1, me nothing. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
So H-E-N-D-R-I-E, you'd be odd, Phil. That's seven letters. Ha ha.
Phil Henry.
Gray, G-R-E-Y. Oh, that's even.
This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
All right, welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. And I guess I can't. I got this very funny e-card that was sent to me, and it shows me dancing in a really silly sort of bit of animation. I can probably show it to you guys on Phil TV a little bit later on, maybe during the next break. But right now, we cannot do that, and I'm not going to attempt to do it because I think it's very, very dangerous. By the way, speaking of Phil TV and HD, you can get a backstage pass and join us. If you have a mobile phone, you can watch Phil TV and HD as well. If you have a droid, some droids carry Phil TV and HD. I am told by people much smarter than me, the whole droid situation is quite fascinating because there's all kinds of changes, constant evolution happening. And so it's I know this may sound stupid, but you can contact our customer service and ask the question directly, guys. It's not that difficult. You go to our customer service link and you can send a question, say, well, hey, what's up with the droid and how do I get Phil TV on my droid? But all iPhones carry it as well as iPads and so forth. So backstage pass it at philhenryshow.com, philhenryshow.com. I don't know, guys, did you hear about this? Hugo Chavez, his full name is Hugo Chavez Frias. He died on Tuesday from cancer at the age of 58.
Who?
Hugo Chavez, who's the head of Venezuela.
I'm not familiar.
Well, you don't know who Hugo Chavez was?
Mm-mm.
Well, Hugo Chavez was a good friend to Sean Penn.
Are we going to have to start with that?
How dare you? Sean Penn and Hugo Chavez. I'm not saying that I admired the man.
Well, then you can say that you didn't admire the man. What's this got to do with Sean Penn?
I think we should...
Oh, you know something? No. No, we didn't. We don't have to. No. In any event, he was one of the most flamboyantly provocative leaders on the world scene in recent years. His death came after months in which his health was a national mystery, the subject of obfuscation and rumors.
What's that mean?
Obfuscation is confusing, purposefully confusing. He spent inauguration day for his fourth term in a hospital bed in Cuba. Vice President Nicolas Maduro, who made the announcement, is one of the politicians now maneuvering to control Venezuela, where elections will be held within 30 days. Very interesting. Maneuvering. You know, in a regular country, man, we've got like a normal transition of power, you know? You heard about that? I'm not knocking Hugo Chavez, but, you know, some things are pretty obvious.
Well, Phil, we're talking about South America that was subject to American influence and the maneuverings of the American foreign policy. What are you looking at me like that for?
Well, how am I looking at you?
Like suddenly a fetid stench has just come up from where I'm sitting, and I don't find that...
You didn't start looking at you like that.
God.
I was saying something, and suddenly you went, ew. There's a look in your face like a corrosive stench was let off somewhere in my area. What are you laughing at?
I'm not laughing at anything. I just think you have a very interesting way of putting things, Margaret. I'm just saying... you can talk all you want about America's adventures abroad, and we can get into all of that, and it's all very entertaining, it's all very historic, it's funny, when we talk about America's misadventures and adventures abroad, we never ask ourselves the reasons. Every time we ask for the reasons, it always boils down to something very convenient like this. The corporations are trying to amass power. That makes it nice and tidy and easy for the average American who, you know, so enjoyably critiques America's foreign policy adventures over the last 100 years, let's say. And the average American who has perhaps more of a left-leaning, or I won't even put it that way, just the average American is more critical of American foreign policy, will put it a very easy way like that. He'll say, well, it's just the amassing power of corporations. The fact of the matter is, there's business to be done. And the business that is to be done is on behalf of, or I should say, is in search of dollars for those American corporations so that there are products either sold cheaply here in the United States or that some of those corporations that do employ Americans get a little bit more of a tax break. Or, you know, they're just regular Americans who are taking advantage of being American business people, and they're opening up new markets. You know, what is unusual about that? And I'm not saying that they're all pure as the driven snow and they're all just marvelous people. I'm not saying that at all. But I'm saying there's nothing really nefarious about that. It's just the fact that there's some people who start businesses, those businesses get bigger, and some of those businesses are not involved in things that are all that very savory, shall we say. And some of those businesses are involved in things that are savory, but they happen to be employing, you know, people overseas to the benefit of Americans, as I said, consuming things at a cheaper price. Yeah, I got to tell you something. Ask the average American if he likes paying lower prices for things, okay?
Well, what has that got to do? So the average American wants to pay lower prices, yes.
Yeah, listen, Mr. Henry, he's making a lot of sense.
Oh, bud, why don't you would you put a ball gag in him, or so help me God, I'll dig into what Frank and I haven't used in a few years.
Are you kidding me? You're going to take out some nasty old ball gag and stick it in his mouth?
I don't want a nasty ball gag that was in your mouth.
I'm not going to get a ball gag that was... Never mind.
Anything else you want to tell us about what you and Frank have in the footlocker?
Shut your filthy...
All right, look. You know what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying. So, South America this, and South America that, and South America something else, and America's adventures abroad, and so on and so forth. That doesn't excuse this guy's behavior. This isn't a tough thing to get, man, okay? Look, Russia has emerged from literally hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years of feudalism, serfdom. Russia has emerged from hundreds of years of having czars and emperors.
What are you talking about, serfdom? What's that mean?
S-E-R-F, serfdom.
What's that?
These are people that were tied as virtual slaves to the land that they were born on. They never were able to leave. Whole generations of people born on a piece of land that is owned by somebody else, and their serf status, S-E-R-F, not surfer, bud, okay?
What?
Are you understanding what we're saying here?
Sort of, but why do they call it a serf?
Because they do call it a serf. I don't know. These are people that were born on this land, and they're going to die on it, and their children are born on it and die on it, and they never, ever achieve any kind of freedom beyond being people that work for whoever owns the land. That was what was in place in Russia for hundreds of years. Now, those people have emerged not only from that system, but they emerged from the communist system, and now they are doing their best at what they consider to be a democracy, you know. And that's Russia. Now, how about Venezuela get on the stick?
Well, they're not getting Russia's democracy. It's a virtual dictatorship.
Well, I don't know. Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez, who died on Tuesday from cancer at the age of 58, was one of the most... I'm getting tired of just giving excuses to some people, that's all. Was one of the most flamboyantly provocative leaders of the world scene in recent years. His death came after months in which his health was a national mystery, the subject of obfuscation and rumors. He spent Inauguration Day flat on his ass in a bed in Cuba. His vice president is now maneuvering to control Venezuela. Blah, 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 blah. A one-time army paratrooper who served 2 years in prison after leading a botched military coup against Venezuela's government in 1992... Chavez emerged from behind bars after an amnesty with a renewed determination to achieve power, and he sought the support of Cuba's veteran communist leader Fidel Castro to do so. In 1998, Chavez won Venezuela's presidential elections, promising to change things in his country forever from top to bottom. Since the day he was first sworn in as president in February 1999, he devoted himself to doing precisely that. What he has left is a country that in some ways will never be the same, and which in other ways is the same Venezuela as ever. One of the world's most oil-rich, but socially unequal countries, with a large number of its citizens living in some of Latin America's most violent slums. To his credit, Chavez was devoted to trying to change the lives of the poor, who were his greatest and most fervent constituents. He began by hammering through a new constitution, renaming the country. Renaming the country? What did he rename it?
Venezuela. Well, what did it used to be called?
Well, it's called Venezuela, but they got it's a different name.
It's still Venezuela. Here it is. Here, the Bolivarian Republic of Venezuela, because his Simon Bolivar, who had fought to unite Latin America under his rule, was Chavez's hero, and so he changed the country's name to Bolivarian Republic of Venezuela, and thereafter spent a great deal of time and resources attempting to forge what he called his Bolivarian Revolution. It was not initially to be a socialist or even necessarily anti-American endeavor, but over the following years, Chavez's rule and his adopted international role became both at least in intention. Excuse me.
Well, that was crude.
What's he supposed to do?
Don't you have a sneeze button?
No, I don't have a sneeze button. I have a fader. I could have dropped the fader. Is that what you wanted?
Yeah, I'm supposed to drop a fader, not sneeze right into it.
Well, excuse me, man, but that's what I did. You know, the thing that this guy Chavez did once that really pissed me off is he started in about George Washington. He said, well, you know, George Washington is this and that, but Bolivar was, he was a far better guy because he did something else. And this cat Bolivar, I guess because Bolivar was more of a proletariat and Washington was a landowner, and all Washington was a general, and Bolivar was a real ass-kicking, you know, man in the ranks. What he failed to mention was that George came along a few years before Simon Bolivar, and George wasn't looking to be a dictator. George was looking to be a general, and they elected his ass president, and when he could have been elected to a third, maybe even a fourth term, he told him to take the whole thing and cram it, clown. And he went back to the plantation there with Martha and a few hundred slaves and had him and played pinochle, as every good plantation owner must.
How dare you, man, talk about that? Those are my ancestors.
Yeah, but at least they were slaves to George Washington.
What good's that?
Well, he's the father of the country.
So what? How do you know your ancestors were slaves to George Washington?
I don't know.
In any event...
They're sitting around playing pinochle while those people are out working the field?
I'm kidding around, Robert. I don't know what the hell they were doing. I'm making a joke. George rides back to the plantation. He's there with Martha. She's making ice cream. He's playing pinochle, and the slaves are out in the fields, and they're singing, you know, I'm long gone like a turkey through the corn.
Shut up, man.
Get out of here, will you, bud? All right, we'll be right back with our final quarter hour, thank God, here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Every night to 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, so Chavez croaked out, and I'm really sorry to hear that. But you know what? Death is just a part of life, and life is just a part of death. And,
yeah.
And like that. I don't know. I think the guy was kind of a jackball, if you want my honest opinion. And that's no reflection on Sean Penn, although Sean Penn, you got to be kidding me, man. Sometimes you just look like a real clown, man. Hanging around with that guy, I don't think you can look good. That guy Chavez. But he was the man there in Venezuela. And now what makes Brazil so ass-kicking great? Brazil has got it down. Now there's a country in South America, they're going to leave everybody in the dust.
Well, Brazil, they've got an awful lot of resources, and they've also managed things properly. I think there is the Portuguese, okay, this is very important, the Portuguese history of Brazil. If you think of Brazil in these terms, the Portuguese, which is technically how you pronounce the name.
That the French way?
No, I didn't say that was the French way, bud. It's the Portuguese who landed in South America at a time when the natives... I don't know, they were friendlier or something. In any event...
What do you mean, friendlier?
I don't know. But the Portuguese and then the Spaniard. Now, for whatever reason, the Portuguese or the Portuguese, they rooted more happily and sprung into life in a very effervescent way.
Margaret, can we speak some English here?
I am speaking English.
What do you mean the Portuguese sprung into life... Are you saying because they're Portuguese, they're superior to the Spanish?
I didn't say that, did I? The Portuguese, Phil, have a language that is, I'll use just a colloquial term, the Portuguese language, that would be Portuguese or Portugay, is a mind-effing, it messes with the brain. Because I've had friends of mine who will be speaking Spanish, and then they'll talk to someone who they think is speaking Spanish, and they're gradually getting the sense that they're talking to someone who speaks Spanish, but there was a brain injury or a stroke or something in their background. You see what I'm saying?
So the people they're talking to are speaking Portuguese, but they don't know that. They think they just had a stroke.
Yes. By God, don't laugh, Phil. I've got a lot of Portuguese friends.
Would you knock it off with the Portuguese? So you're speaking Spanish to a guy.
Yeah, you don't have to yell, Phil. So you're speaking. I can hear you.
Okay, so you're speaking Spanish to somebody. And I've heard Portuguese spoken, okay?
Yay, Phil Fred.
Well, I'm just telling you, I've heard Portuguese, and it, to me, has always sounded like a mixture of Italian and Spanish.
That's a very good description, it is.
Yeah, okay. That doesn't sound like some guy that had a stroke.
Phil, do you speak Spanish?
No, I do not.
All right, then you don't know what I'm talking about. I'm saying Spanish-speaking friends of mine who've spoken to people who speak the Portuguese way.
As in Portuguese?
Yes. Don't treat your listeners like they're brain dead. They understand what I'm saying. And they're speaking Spanish, and it would be like as if you're speaking English, and you're speaking to, well, I don't want to say.
Like you're talking to a guy from South Africa.
No, not South Africa. If you're speaking to someone who is speaking English, but they're also speaking Finnish.
What? What language is that?
I don't know. Let's just pretend there's such a language.
No, I don't think I will. I don't think I'll pretend there's such a language. Basically, what you're saying is I'm speaking to someone who's speaking English, but every other word I don't understand.
Exactly.
So that's what it's like if you're Spanish and you're speaking to someone who's speaking Portuguese. I'm simply saying, as an English-speaking person, when I hear Portuguese, I can tell it's different from Spanish because it has certain Italian overtones to it.
That's a very good way of putting it for someone that doesn't speak another language.
Do you?
Yes, I do. I speak French.
Yeah, you said you speak French, but you don't really.
How many times do I have to tell you, Claude, that I speak French? I speak French in an English way.
You don't speak French. You make...
Boy, spit it out, Porky. What are you trying to say?
I'm saying you don't speak French. You go... Le, you know, the Eiffel Tower. That's what you say.
Yes, that's French to people that don't speak French.
And what about people that do speak French?
That is French, too. It just sounds like bad French.
Oh, horse crap.
Are you calling me a liar?
No, I'm not calling you a liar. I'm calling you worse than that. You sound silly. The stuff you're saying is S-I-L-L-Y, illy, silly. Okay?
Yeah, okay.
Woo!
All right, so...
You said that's not possible.
No, it's not possible. She's not speaking French.
Excuse me, who is she?
You're not speaking French, Margaret, when you go, Le Eiffel Tower. You go up to a guy in Paris, and you say, Le Eiffel Tower. Of course he's going to know you're saying Eiffel Tower. Anybody speaking English is going to know you're saying Eiffel Tower.
So what's the problem with that?
Let's say you want to say to a guy in Paris, I need to find a toilet fast. That phrase exactly. How would you say that?
In a way that a French... In speaking French, in other words.
Yes.
Me, le toilette, must find me toilette fast.
Okay, thank you for speaking English.
No, Phil, that's French. Yes, it's English, but it's French.
Oh, get out of here, will you? Is that French? That's English.
It is French to a frog.
Oh, frog, huh?
Will you listen to me? To your average frog, that's French. You go up to any frog on the street over there and you say, me look for crapper, le crapper. That frog, he's going to know what you're talking about.
Boy, Margaret, don't let your French friends hear you saying frog, you know.
Oh, I could give a...
Well, thank you very much. So remember, if you're in Paris, just say Le Crapper.
You don't understand. To quote Sidney Poitier in Raisin in the Sun, you don't understand. You just don't understand.
Now that's racist.
No, it's not. That is the way he said it.
All right, look, we got to get out of here. Not a bad night to kick the night, to kick the week off here, and we thank you very much for joining us, folks. Be looking for us down the road on Jay Moore's More Stories. We'll be featured on one of Jay's podcasts. Very excited about joining him tomorrow. Jay will also be a guest of Bobby Dooley's on the Bobby Dooley podcast. Mm-hmm. Coming up this week, I think at the end of the week, we have Sugar Ray Leonard on the Bobby Dooley podcast as well. And don't miss episode 136 of the Phil Hendry podcast coming up tomorrow. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show is produced by Dan Northcraft and me, Phil Hendry. Join us online at philhendryshow.com for our backstage pass and more fun and frivolity over there at philhendryshow.com. Pick up a backstage pass and enjoy life, maybe, for the very first time in your life. Until tonight at 10 on the West Coast and 1 a.m. on the East Coast, this is Phil Hendry saying, let that be a lesson to you.
Phil Hendry.